In the 20-some-odd years under several different administrations that I have occasionally stood here, I have shared with one congregation or another a good many stories of growing up in a small central Texas town. Members there, not of the Episcopal Church, but of still another minority sect. I've told you so many of these stories that I can't remember which ones I haven't told you. But I want to share with you this morning one that I know I told you. I hope you enjoyed it the first time. But maybe I can make it even a little better this time. I spent a good deal of my time as a youngster in the home of my maiden aunts. My mother was off teaching in a two-room rural school, really rural school at that time. Now, no place in our town was really very far away from any other place. And almost all of them were within walking distance. And one of the things that my aunts did with great regularity was to walk the two blocks to the city cemetery to care for the family burial spaces. With a pair of hand clippers carried in a small bucket, there was always grass to be watered, trimmed, leaves to be raked up, monuments shined, and all of those things except the monuments that you would do in your home yard. By this time in the lives of my aunts, there were already a goodly number of family graves to care for that needed regularly tending. But the high point of all this care took place on the annual Decoration Day. Now, this was not Memorial Day. I know of no other way to say it except to say that in that faraway time, Memorial Day was perceived as a Yankee holiday and was thus ignored. The real reason probably was because in the absence of florists, flowers were always brought from home, and that persisted in a somewhat earlier blooming season. By the way, one of the founders of that original Memorial Day was a Yankee general named John Logan. Absolutely no kin. But Decoration Day was a family affair, and in many ways almost a kind of family picnic and reunion. People would come back from the cities and towns in which they now lived and join in caring for the grave spaces of their families. I almost forgot about flags. We carried around bundles of small flags representing the three wars in which men from that community had served: World War I, the Spanish-American War, and that other war in the 19th century. Decoration Day, as I knew it as a child, has almost completely disappeared. After the Second World War, Memorial Day was made a national holiday to honor the men and women who had served in the military service of this country. Memorial Day is tomorrow. In a way, I regret what it has become. Whatever else it used to be, it is now only a kind of unofficial beginning of the summer season, just as Labor Day is the end of the summer season. But there are still a few traces of the old Decoration Day. The amount of traveling testifies to the aspect of family reunion, except it very seldom involves a trip to the cemetery. I realize, of course, that Episcopalians and other liturgical churches have All Saints Day, when we remember those who have departed this life. But that's not quite the same thing as standing alongside a grave space, remembering all of the good things that once characterized the one whose body or whose ashes lie there. So remember tomorrow the men and women of our armed services who gave their lives in the service of this country. But remember also those absent from us, but still very much a part of our memory. And just one more thing. As we move through Memorial Day tomorrow, 1 week from today, we will be celebrating the day called Pentecost and the promised gift of power and what that means, power. Because it is not unrelated to what has already been said, I want to share with you something I just this week read. Miss Emma grew up in the Depression, but she somehow never let a sense of scarcity infect her soul. She had been a widow half of her life, but she never locked her doors or worried about what happened to her. She lived her life with her heart open to everyone. When the time came to pray, she was always the first one to give thanks, though she probably had less than anyone else in the room. When there was conflict in the community, it was Miss Emma who had the grace to make peace. Gratitude, generosity, and grace were what made Miss Emma the most powerful woman in the community. Perhaps no one realized Miss Emma's power until the day of her funeral, when every business and school in the community shut down. It was Miss Emma who had gathered everyone together to say goodbye to the most powerful person in the community, the one person they knew who was always fully awake to every need, every day of her life, until the day when she commended her spirit to God. It takes great power to be loved like that and to be remembered.